Chapter 2. Funny how things turn out sometimes. I happened to be coming home from work at 11 p.m., the right time to get stuck in there with 9J, because that was my work schedule now. Unofficially, after the incident, I almost quit my job at the foundation I worked for. The main thing that it did was manage a scholarship fund for female STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics students. At that time, I was being sent to meetings with sponsors, institutions, affluent donors, and schools willing to work on the cause. Then, rather abruptly, I couldn't go out to meet them anymore. My bosses understood that, and didn't force me to either. They kept me on because there was more work to be done that didn't require seeing people. Letters had to be written, presentations had to be made pretty, and spreadsheets needed updating. I wasn't much of a writer or researcher, but had to learn because I became the work-from-home person, and then, starting this year, the desk job person. I needed some help with the transition back to the office, and they allowed me to work flexible hours. I avoided the normal day shift, came in late, and left work very late. Even as I became more comfortable going out again, I stuck to that schedule. At least they didn't let me quit, thank God. It would have been worse to have ended up broke after the incident. The firm was founded by a brother and sister team, Carl and Miley Figueras, and they rejected the 5 resignation letters I sent. Each time, I was completely sincere about it, and 3 of those times, it was because I felt that they were getting into trouble because of me, and that leaving was a selfless thing for me to do. Miley asked for a meeting at 6 p.m., which to me was like lunch, as in middle of my workday, while she was on her way out. She was my only boss now. Carl left the firm last year, moved to the United States to get married. It had been a difficult decision for him, leaving the baby that was his company. But no one blamed him. He wouldn't have been able to marry here, and he didn't have to chain himself to this place forever. "We're almost done with the brochures we're sending to the fair in Cebu," I said, as soon as I sat down on the chair across from her. The background color was off, and the entire back flap was so hard to read, so I asked them to redo it. "Oh, there's time, no worries," she said. And maybe the first thing I should have noticed was that she was watching me as soon as I walked into her office. Miley Figueras was usually busy whenever one saw her, and she didn't have her eye on her phone or her laptop screen at all when we started. I should have guessed. "Iris," she said, "I'm moving." I knew what that meant. Carl said that too. "I'm moving." When they said that, it didn't mean they were getting a house in Nuvali or leasing a 2-bedroom in Taguig. It meant another kind of moving, far and permanent. I tried not to let it show on my face that my insides felt like they were imploding. "Wow," I said. "To where?" "Switzerland," Miley said. "That project in Geneva, it's a great opportunity." "Congratulations." They were a former client, a grant-giving foundation, and they did like her work. No surprise they would have wanted her to join them, and no surprise that she'd say yes.
"Thank you. I kind of didn't want to start from scratch as someone's employee somewhere, but when am I going to be considered young enough to do this, right?"
Miley was in her mid-30s and wasn't old to me at all, but I knew what she meant. I was 24, and the incident made me feel like I'd started over. She wanted to try to do the life change while she had the stamina. We talked about starting over a lot. Way more than co-workers should. I knew this would happen. She had hinted it would when Carl left. Their firm was still relatively small, despite being around for 10 years. Just them, me, 6 other people.
"Right now, you're the most senior here, at least in terms of the actual operations work," she said. "A happy accident, because you were both in marketing and in operations. No one else has done both sides like that, apart from me and Carl. So, if you're ready, you can lead the project teams. All of them."
Wow, what? Was I actually getting promoted? I tried to think of other people who would be better at this than me. The nature of the firm, though, was to keep a small full-time staff and hire consultants for anything else. Among the staff, my 3 years in college internship was indeed the longest anyone has ever been working there. Miley cleared her throat.
"But what the firm needs is new partners all the time, Iris, you know that. and it would be best if the person who knows the work best was also the one meeting them and answering questions.
I don't know about this, was my automatic answer.
You really don't? You don't think enough time has passed?
But we agreed, I said. Miley had let me stay away from shaking any hands so the firm's reputation would remain good and intact.
This is the opposite of that.
Iris, I don't want to bring things up, but no one has mentioned it in... I don't even remember. We haven't lost any partners recently because your name was part of the employee list.
She was right. But 2 years ago, they did. Some high-profile donors and institutions deferred working with us. Every time someone did, I sent a resignation letter.
Miley shrugged. Not asking you to do anything you don't want to do. But when I leave, and my dad takes over here, you know that he's just going to want numbers.
Carl and Miley's dad was part owner of the firm, and without the two, he'd be the boss of us. I wasn't sure what that meant for me. It had been his son and daughter who had stuck by me.
Does he care about... He wasn't happy about it, but everyone keeps their jobs if they're useful, and he's going to want people to be extra useful. Do you get what I mean?
It meant that the Figueras patriarch had other businesses and didn't care much for the well-meaning startup his kids put up, except maybe to keep the lights on and see it earn more.
I'll have to think about this, I said. But congratulations. I really am happy for you.
Miley nodded.
I know you mean that, and thanks, and...
I should let you know that Francine called again. It must have looked like I spaced out.
Francine Porter of...
I know, I said, cutting her off. Francine Porter's nonprofit agency was a partner of ours.
Is there... Why?
You know, the usual... They're doing a seminar, and she asked again if you would meet with her. Again, my answer was automatic.
Oh, okay. Can you email me the details?
I always said that, and I never acted on it. Email was the black hole of asking me to talk to Francine. The only time I would do it was if I were trapped in an elevator with her. Maybe. But it was easier to say I would, and then not do it, than explain why I wouldn't. My boss was skeptical, but as always, careful about this.
She really does believe in your work. She actually wants to offer you a job with them, full time.
What?
You haven't thought of it? Miley asked. They say your generation gets tired of a job after 3 years or less.
Not when you've been the kindest to me of everyone in this mess.
Are you asking me to quit?
Miley sighed. Then she laughed.
Of course not.
This was messed up. My own boss acting as my career scout. But again, it was easier to say I would consider it rather than talk about all the reasons.
Email me that too, I said.
And off into the black hole it goes.
Of course.
And yet, Miley was looking straight at me when she said this, made no move to type anything up.
I will. When you're ready, you can do a lot for them, as their employee or just you.
I have work to do, I mumbled, and that was my way of excusing myself.
You can do a lot for them.
I knew that in my head. I knew that because my job had me contacting experts and getting them to write, review, check stuff to make our work better and more useful. Useful was the key word, and everything we did had to be that. I couldn't blame Francine for calling and asking. This was probably the third time. She wanted my help because her nonprofit provided counseling services to underprivileged women and children, and the incident that happened to me was becoming something that they needed information on. The incident. Calling it that in my head shielded me from having to remember, but it also created walls in my memory, head places I instinctively felt I couldn't go to. After work on a normal day, I would be home by 11. I'd have takeout dinner with me, I would sit there and watch something on TV for a few hours, and then I'd sleep. Today, same routine, but I also toyed with some thoughts. I wondered if I could say it out loud, even when by myself. I realized
that I'd never actually done that. Janine never made me. So I sat there, on my living room couch, dinner done, cup of hot tea brewing, and dared myself to say it. Or just think it, in a complete sentence. Which moment has most defined your life so far, Iris Len Larioca? Please state your answer in 500 words or less. I could do that. I had sex with my boyfriend, and we took a video, and it accidentally got out on the internet. People saw it. Short, heavy sentences, even as silent thoughts. I braced myself for all the feelings that thinking about it brought on, especially in the beginning, and it was there. Kind of. A little. The pain was familiar, but not as devastating. That's right. I said that aloud, first as a whisper. That was me. I was the naked girl on the internet. That wasn't a joke. It was bitter in my mouth and bitter in the air. It was all so true. But then, I had to get up and throw my takeout carton away and throw the trash into the chute down the hall and wash the cup I'd used like any other day. Like always.